Day, we're going to turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 10. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Joshua, chapter 10. We're going to begin reading in verse 7. It says here that Joshua ascended from Gilgal. He and all the people of war with him and all of the mighty men of valor. The Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear them, for I've delivered them into your hand. Not a man of them shall stand before you." I'll just point out here that when God said that in verse 8, it hadn't happened yet. But he told him the promise that I have given them into your hand. The battle hadn't even started yet. Not from Joshua's perspective. See, you serve a God today who speaks about the battles that you're presently fighting in the past tense. Because from his vantage point, they're already won. From his vantage point, he's already been victorious in it. You may be fighting the battle right now, but from the vantage point of God, he has already won the war. He's already been with you through the battle. And so he can, when he speaks this into you, you know of a surety, God, you're there with me. I'm thankful to hear the voice of the one who's on the other side of it. You can take note of any time that God speaks in the past tense, as he does here. He said, I have delivered Jericho into thine hands. Let's just read just a couple more verses. Verse 9. Joshua therefore came upon them suddenly, having marched all night from Gilgal. So the Lord routed them before Israel, killed them with a great slaughter at Gibeon. He chased them along the road that goes to Beth Horon, struck them down as far as Azekah and Makeda. It happened as they fled before Israel and were on the descent of Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down large hailstones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, and they died. There were more who died from the hailstones than the children of Israel killed with the sword. So here we see that faithfulness births favor. When you do things God's way, that God, he can do more in just a moment through obedience than you can do in a lifetime of trying on your own. Verse 12, it says that Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said, in the sight of Israel, catch this, sun, stand still over Gibeon. Moon, stay right where you're at in the valley of Ajalon. Only 12 words, but these 12 words had cosmic consequence. This was not a very long prayer, but just watch what God did in response to the faith of one man named Joshua, who said, sun, stand still. Verse 13 says, so the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, till the people had revenge upon their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. And there has been no day like that before it or after it that the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Just set your Bible down here for a moment. Lift up your hands one more time. Amen. I believe God has a word for somebody in this room here today. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray that you would just speak to us, Lord. Let our hearts be open to you. Let us receive this word humbly, Lord. Let us receive this in a way, God, that you see fit, Lord, so that we could be changed and better for it, Lord, so that we might leave this place different than we came in. God, you are so good. Lord, I pray that you would just let every distraction, anything that would cause us to be hindered, Lord, in receiving this, Lord, for any of that, just to be removed from this place. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. What a day that must have been for Joshua and for the people of Israel, those out on the battlefield, for that simple prayer. Sun, stand still. Moon, stay where you're at. God, would you let this happen so that we could have complete victory? And God responds to that simple prayer of Joshua. Verse 14 says that there's never been anything like that day before it. There will never be another day like that afterwards. But I believe that the same God who made the sun stand still for Joshua, the same God who had the capability and the capacity to raise his own son from the dead, to raise Lazarus from the dead and so many others, the same God who is able to do miracle after miracle, even today, as you might recount back in your life, the miracles that God has done for you, that God remains the same yet today. That through every woman, man, boy, and girl in this place who is facing some test or trial in your life, that God, He is able to deliver you from it. That God, He is able to be there with you through it. That God, He is able to overcome anything that you are facing in this life today. That we can speak and pray bold prayers. And in His name, He is able to move mountains. He is able to do the impossible. And I believe that when we come to Him boldly to do the impossible, that He can receive glory in doing the impossible. I believe not only did that happen one time, but I believe that it happens every day all around the world. Not that the sun stands still, but that bold prayers are prayed and God boldly responds to the prayers of His people. Now, I believe in this place that we have many testimonies of bold prayers that have been prayed and God responding to those prayers. I'm sure we could go around this room and hear the testimonies. I've even just this morning received a text of prayers answered just from last week. Somebody who was in this service, Mr. Willits, who was in this service and had a major prayer in or need in her life. And God met that need. We're thankful that God meets the needs of people who come to Him boldly needing an answer from Him. See, I believe these things happen every day. God, or in fact, Jesus, He said at the end of His ministry, He said, all the great things that you've seen me do, all the things that have happened during my time here on earth and my ministry, greater things than these shall ye do. And a greater capacity and greater things, not because of your power, not because of your might, not because of your ability, but because we know the one, and you can call on the name of the one who is able to do them. And when you have an entire world full of the body of Christ calling on the name of the Lord, He is able to respond to needs all the world over, and we can see greater things today than they ever saw in the days of Jesus. I'm thankful for that. Amen. See, I want to live my life in such a way that it leaves no doubt that God was fighting for me. It leaves no doubt that God was on my side. I want to live my life in a way that is speaking bold things and praying bold prayers like Joshua prayed. I want people to look at my life and say, you know, that's Joshua 10:14 right there. Surely the Lord was fighting for Austin Gilliland. Surely the Lord was fighting for him. I want to do enormous things through my life. And I want to see enormous things. God working in great ways in a capacity that is untold of, you know, in this church and in your life. I want to see God doing great things wherever you are. Whatever your situation looks like, you know, whatever, however you may size up your situation and feel like it's something big or something that is insurmountable. It's not insurmountable to God. It's not something that God cannot do. He is able to do anything. God is able to do anything. But in order for us to experience these types of supernatural moments, we have to know what happens before the sun stood still. And that's what I want to speak on today, before the sun stands still. That there's things that happen even in our life before. There were things that led up to that moment for Joshua. There were things in his life that led up to this moment where he might have called out to God and said, or called out to that sun, but knowing that God was the one that is able to do it. Sun, stand still. Moon, stand still. See, here's what I know. I know that every one of us in this place, we really need God. We need him. Whatever, even if your life is just cruising down life, you know, with no problems at all. There's no pothole in the way. There's nothing gonna throw you off. You've got great weather, windows down, top down, whatever. You're just cruising along. You're enjoying life. You need God even in those moments. I'm thankful that we have God keeping us on the straight and narrow. But I'm also thankful that when my life hits that pothole and it feels like things are going haywire, I'm thankful that he is right there and I have a God who is always present. I need him. There are things in my life that the only way we are going to change, that they're going to change, is if God shows up and he's in the middle of them and he does something miraculous. There's some problems that God is the only situation to the, or God is the only solution to the situation. There's situations that require God's intervention, that his power and his glory can begin to work in them, and you can see that God is able to do anything. See, we need God in this city. We desperately need God in this city. We desperately need God in this church that we are sitting in right now. We desperately need God in the homes of the families that are present here, but even those beyond the ones who are present here. We need God in the homes. We need God in our schools. We need God in our families. We need God in our neighborhoods. God is the only answer to all of the messed up stuff that's going on. There's so much junk that's happening all around us, and the only true answer to any of it is if we could call out to God and that God would intervene, and he has a God-sized solution for whatever it is that the problem is present. God knows the answer. He is the answer. If we're going to have peace in the streets, then we need to have God in the homes. See, the problems that we face, they aren't merely political or socioeconomic problems. They're sin problems. A new president isn't going to fix all of the problems that we're facing. It'll fix some, but a lot. But it won't fix all the problems that we're facing. There's no politician that can fix the problems that you're facing. There is nothing that can fix it unless we get God in the middle of it. A new job's not going to fix the problems that you're facing. It might help a little bit with the pocketbook, but it's not going to fix all of your problems. New friends, new people in your life, that's not going to fix all of your problems. God is the only one who can come in and to meet the needs that we have inherent in our life. That God, it's a God-sized hole that we have, that he needs to come in and to fill the void. And there's God-sized problems out there that if we can call on him, he will be present in a moment to meet the needs. See, what happens? What happened the day before, or what happened before the sun stood still on that day for Joshua? See, just before the text that we read, the Bible says that Joshua got himself into some trouble. See, Joshua, he was a great leader. We know him, took over for Moses, led the people across the Jordan River into the promised land, defeated Jericho, had the defeat in Ai, but had the common sense to go to God and ask him why they were defeated. And God gave him the solution and he responded, and we see all of that. And we see Joshua many times over as a great leader. But Joshua made a mistake. He made an unwise alliance with some people that he should have destroyed. So now he finds himself needing God to get him out of a situation that he got himself into. I don't know if there's anybody in here who has ever needed God to get you out of a situation that you got yourself into. But I certainly have. God, I racked up this debt, but I really want to get my life in order so that I can be generous and to give. Or God, you know, I married young, or I married some person that, you know, before I knew that you weren't, that I shouldn't have been with that person. Or God, here I am, Lord, now I need you to bless my marriage. God, it's not going well. Lord, I've got all kinds of things going on. I need you to bless my marriage. I need you to heal it. You got yourself into some situations. God, maybe I haven't been the parent that I needed to be, but now, you know, your kids, they're as far from you as they could be. And now we're praying, God, I got myself in this situation, and this isn't to blame all the things on us, but there are things that we do when we get ourselves in a situation. God, maybe you pursued money for a long time, and now you're realizing that money can't bring happiness. God, I need you to come into my life, Lord. I need you to fix my relationships because of my pursuit of money and my workaholic nature and, you know, all these things that maybe you got yourself into a situation, but you need God now that you're in it. There's plenty of things and plenty of roads that you could point to in your life as you turn around or you look in that rearview mirror. Things that you got yourself into. Maybe you were even, a Christian. Maybe you were walking with God and you knew at the moment, this is an unwise decision. I shouldn't do this. But you went ahead and did it anyways. And in doing so, you got yourself into that mess. And so, if you've ever gotten yourself into a situation that you needed God to get you out of, you can relate to Joshua. Because Joshua got himself into a situation that he shouldn't have got himself into. And it wasn't just him, but this is affecting the whole nation of Israel. Here they are. They're in a situation that Joshua got them into. And now, what are we going to do? But thank God that God is able to turn our mistakes into a miracle. God can turn our situations into a turn it all the way upside down to where we know that God was with us all along. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that I serve a God who He'll still fight for you. He'll still fight for me in the middle of my mess. That God will still fight for me in the middle of my situations. That even though Joshua had no business fighting this battle to begin with, God delivered him in the middle of the battle that he shouldn't have even been fighting. See, if he had done this God's way the first time around, he wouldn't have even been in this battle. But just like God did that for Joshua, I'm thankful that he still works on our behalf for me as an undeserved candidate of his grace and his mercy. That God, he will still come in the middle of my mess. Thank God. See, your worthiness is not a prerequisite for the miraculous. None of us are worthy of His grace. None of us are worthy of Him coming in and helping us get our life turned around. The reasons why you are in the battle that you are in are not disqualifiers for God's power to move in your life. The whole reason that you're in your mess, we can get in our own head and think, you know, that there's, you know, I got myself into this, I need to get myself out of it. But God, all He's looking for you to do is say, yeah, you got yourself into it, now turn to Me so that I can help you get out of it. Turn to Me in the middle of your mess. You don't need to turn your life around in order for Me to come in and to heal you or to restore you. I just need you to turn to Me right in the middle of your mess and I can restore you in it. I can do the miraculous in it. See, but God speaks to Joshua and he gives him a promise that he's going to fight for him. He's going to give him victory in this life. But Joshua has to leave the place where he's at and march all night to confront the thing that God is promising him victory over. This journey to victory, it was not an easy trail to traverse. It would have taken 8 to 10 hours of arduous marching over 20 miles and 3,300 feet of ascent up some mountains. That's the journey that he took from Gilgal up to the place where he was going. And before long, the sun is going to stand still. And you're going to see the full light of the glory of God and the testimony of his working in your life. But before you can see that victory come to light, you're going to have to march in some darkness in obedience. There might be some things that you don't see the victory happen. It says that Joshua and his troops, they marched all night long. All night long they're marching. And sometimes you get yourself in a mess, and as you are turning to God, you might not see the victory right away, but he's going to give you some orders to march, and he may not give you the full picture. He may not give you the full answer of how everything's going to turn out. And it may be dark in the middle of the night, but you're standing there, he says, get ready to march, and I'm going to lead you to the place of victory. And it's in that moment that you have a choice to obey or to stay where you're at. And hear me. I believe that we will see the glory of God in our day. I believe that you can have revival in your life, in your family. I believe that this church will see revival. I believe that we're going to see God pouring out his spirit in this city. God pouring out his spirit in this community. But I believe that there are some things now that God would ask us to do, to march in some darkness in obedience to him so that the miracle can come just down the road. But it's up to us. Are we going to obey the word of God and march even when we don't see the victory at hand? See, before I see the victory, when I don't know how it's going to work out, before the sun stands still, I must first obey. See, God will not do what only he can do until you do what you're supposed to do. Obedience always precedes God's working in your life. Too often, and don't twist that. That doesn't mean that you have to get everything right in your life and get all fixed up. But when he begins to speak, if you can obey and turn your eyes to him, he will respond. But too often, we want God to move while we are just standing still. We want him to change the situation while we just sit back and do nothing. But if you want God to do a new thing in your life, you can't stay in old places. Get up and march. Get up and obey. See, I may not know what God is going to do in the light, but I'm going to trust him in the darkness. I'll keep marching in obedience to what God's word says, while holding on to the promise that I'm going to see his glory come to life. See, too many times we fail to see God working because we aren't moving when God asks us to move. There's a time for standing still. He says, stand still and see that, and or know that I am God. There's a time for standing still. But when God says, hey, it's time to get going. It's time to start marching. It's time to get up and to stop wallowing in your pity and you're just having a pity party for yourself. It's time to get up. Let's get to church. Let's begin to praise me. Praise, you know, in the middle of your storm. Let's begin to just help somebody else. When I don't know what to do, when I'm just waiting on the Lord, let's do what waiters do. They serve. A waiter serves. When I'm waiting on the Lord, I'm going to do what God is calling me to do. I'm going to serve others. That's what waiters do. So when I'm here waiting on God, I'm going to just keep on marching. I'm just going to keep on serving. I'm going to keep on doing what God has called me to do. Too many times we fail to see God working because we are not moving. Jesus, he showed up to the tomb of Lazarus 4 days late, yet confident. I don't know if you've ever been around somebody who shows up to work late with confidence, like just walking in with their Starbucks in hand, and they're like, they're just fully confident. I'm late, but I'm confident. It's just, hey, I'm here. They're coming in. They're waving to everybody. They're confident. You've been there for 2 hours already. And here they come in and walking confidently. And Jesus, he comes in confidently. Lazarus has been dead. They called for Jesus before he even died. Jesus didn't come then. Now he comes in and he's just confident. And they're all crying. And Jesus looking around and he just says, Lazarus isn't dead. He's just sleeping. Roll away the stone. Well, God, if you're big enough to heal him, why don't you just go ahead and take care of the stone yourself? But Jesus required their obedience before they saw the miraculous. They had to roll away the stone. When they rolled away the stone, they saw Jesus begin to speak, and the miraculous took place that Lazarus got up. And then Lazarus, as he got up, he said, take off the grave clothes. And they began to take the grave clothes off of Lazarus, and he came walking out of that place. The miraculous happened, but it happened because of their obedience. See, Joshua, he remembered the promise from God that not one of his enemies was supposed to stand against him. He was supposed to occupy the entire promised land. So Joshua, in what I'm sure had to be a moment of desperation, prays something that he has never prayed before. Something that he had never seen anybody else pray before. But what other choice does he have? So he says this prayer out loud as the daylight. They didn't have daylight saving at that time, so they didn't. The daylight hours was running out, and so the sun is setting, and in the battle they almost have it won, but it's not fully won. And as that sun is beginning to set, he says out loud, in the presence of the whole nation. Honestly, if that was me, I might have just like prayed a really soft, quiet prayer. If I'm being honest. It might maybe like mumbled under my breath. God, perhaps you could help that sun stand still. I don't want to look foolish in front of everybody else. It's by saying this, you know, I'll give you all the glory if it happens. But if not, no, maybe we can win tomorrow. But Joshua doesn't pray a prayer like that. He prays a prayer out loud so everyone around him can hear. Sun, stand still. Moon, stand still. We have a battle to win. We have a battle that God has already promised us the victory. And he cries out this prayer in desperation. And in the moment of desperation, God responds to a 12-word prayer. And the sun stands still. The moon stands still. And God helps them finish the battle that they were in. Now, honestly, God, he can come in the middle of the mess that Joshua was in. He shouldn't have been in the battle. But in the middle of that mess, a prayer, a simple prayer, but a prayer that was bold, a prayer that was full of faith, God responded to it, and he was able to see God respond in a way that nobody had ever seen God respond. Here's what I love about the miracle. We now know scientifically that wasn't even the correct thing for Joshua to say. The sun wasn't moving. The earth was turning. It doesn't matter if you've got all the exact understanding of how things need to happen. Just cry it out in whatever way that you know to cry out. You don't have to have it all figured out, but as you begin to cry out, he's not insulted by the fact that you're just calling out in faith and saying, God, I need it right now. God, I need you to move this mountain. He says when you pray a prayer of moving mountains, then it just takes faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, and the mountain could be removed and cast into the sea. You cannot intimidate God with your prayers. You cannot intimidate God with big prayers. In fact, literally, little prayers, small prayers, I believe they cause God grief, because God, He wants His people to see miraculous things happening. And it's only through the prayers of His people, big prayers, bold prayers, that God can respond in bold ways. Before the sun stands still, we must pray. We must pray. See, God caused that sun to stand still. God, He caused the problem that Joshua got himself into to dissipate. I'm bringing this to a close. Here, close, in fact, if you want to stand here today, I invite you to do so. I believe that God honors bold prayers because bold prayers honor God. And the greatest humility that you can demonstrate is to put yourself in a position where if God doesn't come through, that you might look foolish. That's humility. That's the humblest thing that you can do, is to say, God, only You can do it. Would You make the sun stand still? Lord, I know Your promises. I know You promised me that nobody is supposed to be able to stand up against Your people. According to Your promise that You made me when I started out as a leader of this nation, I need You to do something right now. And I'm going to pray it boldly. I'm wondering if You'll finally be bold enough today to speak to that need in your heart. If You'll be bold enough today to speak to that need in your family, in your finances. And you can say to God, God, only You can fix it. God, only You can do it. See, too often we think of God's mightiest works as things of the past. That's what the people, you know, in the prophet Amos's day thought as well. So God rebuked them in Amos 5, 4 and 6. He says, don't seek Bethel. Don't go to Gilgal. In other words, they're pointing back to these miraculous things that happened. Do not journey to Beersheba, but seek the Lord today and live. Don't just look at the things of the past, but seek God today and live. Seek God for your problems right now. Well, that sounds like a random list of cities to us, but it wasn't random to the Israelites in that day, because in Bethel, God made a promise to Jacob to make him a great nation. In Gilgal, God renewed a promise to the people after 40 years of wandering in the desert. There, God knocked down the walls of Jericho, and at Beersheba, God gave Abraham possession of the promised land. Each of these places represented a time when heaven moved powerfully on earth. They commemorated these places and they spoke highly of them. They probably said things like, wouldn't it have been awesome to see that, to have been there when Jacob had that vision of heaven? Wouldn't it have been awesome? You know, same things that we might say today. Wouldn't it have been amazing to see Joshua's army marching around Jericho and to see those walls come down? Wouldn't it have been amazing to be there in Bethel or in Beersheba? Wouldn't it have been amazing to be there on those days? But what God was speaking through His prophet Amos to His people in that day was, I'm not just a God of the past, I'm a God of the present. And yes, it was amazing on those days, but I have not changed. My name is not I was. My name is I am. I am. He is whatever you need Him to be today. He is whatever you need Him to be today. God wants to do a new thing in our day. Before we can see it, we have to obey. We need to pray. In fact, right now, if you want to slip a hand up, wherever you're at, if you even want to make your way up to this altar, you're invited to do so, just to cry out to God. He is here right now. He can meet whatever need you have present. You may have gotten yourself into some situations that you're ashamed of. You may have gotten yourself into some things that you are not proud about. But God, He doesn't care where you're at or how you got there. God, He just wants you to call upon Him. He just wants you to trust Him and obey. God is just looking for somebody who would open up their heart, open up their mouth and just cry out to Him. Lord, here I am. God, I'm going to speak to some needs right now. God, I'm going to speak to some things, Lord, that I'm facing, Lord. And I believe that you are able Lord, nothing is too large for you. Nothing is too big for you. But you're able to meet those needs. Lord, I pray right now in this room, Lord, that as we pray big prayers, pray bold prayers, God, we act in obedience to you, Lord, that you would have a work in this place, Lord, that we could see you at work right here in Jesus' name.